Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me read you a few verses that are part of the introduction for our Mother's Day sermon. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28a. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, can I say this? It's not in my notes. God doesn't make a mistake when he creates a child. Male and female they are created. And one of the problems we have in our society is that as we drift away from the Word of God, we drift away from common sense. It says, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Do you know it's the only command that God has ever given that man has followed? Because we have multiplied. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2a, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God has a purpose for our lives. Psalm 138, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't the human body an amazing thing? It just is amazing, the eyeball and all that it is able to do, the ear, the tongue, and all those things, including the brain, just amazing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Shall we stand together as I read to you from the book of Timothy, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for godly mothers, for godly grandmothers. Lord, we thank you for women who have a desire to serve you, who desire to remain pure. And Lord, we just thank you for you who have provided our salvation. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. When I call to remembrance, you know, it's good to remember. It's one of the advantages of having pictures. Now, I realize in our world today, you don't take a film cartridge to one of the area drugstores or to Costco anymore or to maybe Walmart, and you don't go in and they say it'll be ready in an hour or you can pick it up tomorrow. Now you have them on your phones. And one of the problems is that they are not produced in such a way that people are able to hold them in their hand. I like the old-fashioned pictures that you take out of the package and you thumb through them and you throw half of them away because they didn't come out right. But those that did, you keep and you think, wow, I'll put these in an album. But pictures help you remember. One of the problems my dad is having today is remembering things accurately. He has pictures in his room of different family members, and now they have names that are beside them so he can remember who they are. But when we call to remembrance, it's important that we remember good things. Notice he says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Which dwelt first. Good, godly grandmothers are needed and are important. Your grandchildren should be able to see God in your life, that He is important to you, that you have a sincere faith. And thy mother, Eunice. You know, it's good that you can remember a godly mother. And for some of you, maybe you did not have a godly mother. I'm sorry for that. But mothers, how will you be remembered? One thing I remembered about my mother was that church and the Word of God were very special to her. That she enjoyed singing the songs of the faith. That she came to church because she said, I can feel just as bad at church as I do at home. And she was faithful. But notice the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy. That faith that is strong and sure. See, we praise God for faithful mothers, but we also praise God for faithful children. For men and women who have grown up serving the Lord and are continuing to serve God. In verse 2, we see that the apostle Paul called Timothy my dearly beloved son. Now, he was not his physical father, but he was his spiritual father. And he was sure that this young disciple of Christ was strong and sincere in his faith due to the lives and teachings of a godly mother and grandmother. Can I tell you this? People are watching you. Your children watch you. Do you ever notice that you pick up things from your parents? You say things just like your mother. It's amazing how you do these things. And people are watching. And so your life must be such that as they watch you, they realize your love for the Lord. We note in chapter 3, verse 14, Paul writing says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Thou hast known the holy scriptures. The Bible is important, even in 2021. It is of necessity that people read it. And Satan's desire is to take our minds off the Word of God and put them other places. Then in verse 16, Paul declares that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is profitable, and that's a good thing. He then concludes in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished unto all good works. You should desire that your children are usable for the cause of Christ, that they will be used of Him. When I was still the youth director here at Covenant, one of the teens in the youth department invited me to speak at his Bible club at Stevenson High School. When I had finished my devotion, the teacher that was in charge of this particular Bible class came up to me and told me that she could always tell what kids went to Baptist churches because they knew the scriptures the best. What a compliment. What a testimony. They knew the scriptures. Timothy's mother was a Christian Jew, according to Acts 16, verse 1, but his father was a Greek who evidently was not a believer. In the ideal Christian home, the father is to assume spiritual leadership. According to Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." So husbands, you need to make sure that you are right with God, so that your wives can follow your leadership. If you're not right with God, then you have an issue, and it will trickle down through your family. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." In other words, make sure they know the Lord, or they will suffer the wrath of God. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, I'll be honest with you. My dad made sure I knew how to catch a ball. He made sure that, you know, I knew how to hit a ball. But the more importantly, he made sure I was in the house of God. He made sure that I was brought up under the preaching of the Word of God. But unfortunately, countless fathers, for some reason, are unwilling to be the spiritual leader in their home. Many has been the home where a mother or grandmother, usually by default, has had to assume this all-important responsibility. And the Christian world owes these godly women a great debt of gratitude. Henry Morris, the founder of the Institute for Creation Research, says that he was raised in such a home. And he writes that the importance of the Word of God in his life is due to the dedication of a Christian mother and two Christian grandmothers. It is significant that the fifth commandment of God's Ten Commandments requires children to honor their parents. And it is the only one of the Ten Commandments with a special promise. "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth," Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Every godly mother is worthy of real honor every day. And not just once each year, but it's nice that we have at least one day, right, that we honor them. I was last evening at Kroger. I had to go over there to pick up something, and I must admit, I was just amazed at how many flowers were going out. I was amazed at how many people were looking at the cards on the card aisle. You know, we honor our mothers, and it's amazing how we do that. But when a Christian mother like Timothy's mother must assume all the responsibility for leading her children in the way of God, she deserves a very special praise. Book of Proverbs chapter 31 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." That's quite an amazing thought, that you're worth more than rubies. And rubies are very, very valuable. It says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." My mother passed away in 2013, and so I haven't had a mother to honor since then. Donna's mother passed away the following year in 2014. And some of you have seen your mother pass away, and you've had to bury them, but you still remember who they were. Her children arise up and call her blessed. What a testimony, ladies, when your children look at you and realize that you are a virtuous woman and that you have lived a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord. from becoming God's true woman, a few thoughts. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, God can use an ordinary woman. You don't have to be some superwoman. You don't have to have some certain talents. You just simply have to be used of the Lord. Like Mary, God uses pure women, women that are godly in their walk. Like Mary, God uses a woman who makes herself available. Can I say this about Mary? It was not an easy thing to be pregnant. And people think you were pregnant out of wedlock. It was a very difficult thing. But that wasn't the end of it. When she gave birth, there were still those who thought that she had been immoral. Like Mary, God uses a believing woman. Believing. Now, there are certain things that I believe, and I hope I have taught my grandkids this very thing, is that peas were not meant to be consumed by humans. My grandkids don't believe that. But more importantly, I hope they know that I believe in the Word of God, that I love the Lord Jesus Christ, that I love their grandmother. I hope they see in my life things that they know that I believe in. And the same with Donna, that they see things in her that make them realize who she is. Like Mary, God uses a humble woman. There were 18 different things that I could point out here, but I've only pointed out five. Is that all right? Yes. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There's no getting around that, ladies. You need to make sure that your life is right with God. We need to remember that when it comes to salvation, we need to realize our condition. That Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In other words, no one is good enough to go to heaven on his own merit. No matter how much good we do, we will fall short. We need to realize the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." The penalty for sin is eternal separation from God in hell. We need to realize that Christ died and rose again for us. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ's great love for us was shown when he was willing to die on the cross, and then he rose again from the dead to pay for our sin debt. We need to trust Christ alone as our Savior. Romans 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." An everlasting life is a gift purchased by the blood of Jesus and offered freely to those who call upon him by faith. As we conclude our sermon, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? The greatest gift that can be given is that in which they receive Christ as the Lord. I'd ask our ladies that come back to the instruments, and they'll be playing our invitation song. We will not be singing it, but let's stand together if you would, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Do you know Christ is your Savior? If you do, ladies, can they see it in your life? Gentlemen, is your life right with God? Are we following the Lord as we should? We'll give you an opportunity to come to the altar if you would like to and pray. Or you can just pray right where you're at. You know, the most important thing to do when you leave the house of God is to be right with the Lord. And hopefully that can be said of you this day. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time and we give this time over to the Spirit to move, to challenge,
to convict and to touch. We ask, Lord, your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.